Welcome to the Citygate Church podcast. Today's message was recorded at our live Sunday services, and we hope that it encourages you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we are going to read pretty much the whole chapter, because, you know, the Word of God speaks for itself. The Word of God is anointed itself. He sent his word, and his word brings healing, deliverance, freedom. So let the word work this morning. Is that okay? Say, so I believe and I receive the word of God into my life. Come on, say it. I'm good ground for the gospel. The cares of this life will not choke the word. I will, through faith and patience, produce a hundredfold return. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you believe that, come on, let's give God a 5-second praise break right now. Hallelujah. Okay, so it happened after this that the people of Ammon, with people, these enemies of Israel, you know there are enemies out there that are arrayed against you. About three of us. I'm sure the rest of you have experienced them. But they're not what they look like. They're not people. They're not people. There are things that want to destroy your peace, destroy your joy, destroy your health, destroy your finances, destroy your future. But aren't you glad that because he lives, he holds my future. I always sing that song, I'll make it personal. He holds my future. My life is worth living just because he lives. I make it personal. I'm not asking you to change the words. You can sing what you want. But I'm telling you what I do. I make it personal. I'm thrilled that your life is worth living. But there's something about that song which I'm just standing with Jesus and going, God, this is worth it just because I know you. In my life, I need to get on. Oh, the enemy comes and others besides them. I mean, they were ganging up. They were ganging up. You know, there are times the enemy gangs up. Turn to Joshua 10. There's the five lords of the Philistines come against the people of God then. It's as if there are times when there's like the drip, drip, drip of the little foxes, but there are times when everybody gangs up. So they were all really ganging up. They came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. They're in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi, and Jehoshaphat feared. And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout, all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Don't you love this incredible agreement? They all came, they all prayed, they all sought the Lord. It wasn't just like a few spiritual ones. The whole lot turned out. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly at Judah, Jerusalem, and in the house of the Lord, just before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? Do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one, everybody say no one.
No one.
Come on, let's say it with a spirit of faith here to say, no one. No one is able to withstand you. And are you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? And he gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever. Everybody say forever.
Forever.
I think we need to be declaring that at the moment. Forever. And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword or judgment, pestilence or famine, we will stand before this temple in your presence. We'll stand in your presence. Elijah, there shall not be dew nor rain except at my word. Why? Because I'm speaking on behalf of the Lord God in whose presence I stand. It's something about standing in the presence of God. For your name is in this temple. And they cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear. You will save. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession. So many powerful words here. O Lord, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming out against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon Jesus. That's a good place to put your gaze. It's a good place to put your focus. When you feel surrounded, fix your eyes on Jesus. When you feel overwhelmed, fix your eyes upon Jesus. When the enemy's coming in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. When you don't know what to do, fix your eyes upon Jesus. When you do know what to do, fix your eyes upon Jesus. My suggestion is never take your eyes off Jesus. Now all of the tribe of Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. I know I say this a lot. Stand with your family in the presence of God. I don't just mean for a time, I mean as a lifestyle. Let your home be filled with the presence of God. Now we all know we raise families and stuff wants to invade your stronghold. Because your house is your stronghold. Hello? Your house is your stronghold. The enemy wants to invade, and he wants to invade in so many ways with division. He wants to invade. He wants to invade with the world. Spirit of the world doesn't mean to say that, you know, you isolate and become a hermit, but you do put your faith around your family and say, thus far and no further, devil. You're not coming in here. You need wisdom to know how to raise kids in this generation. But don't compromise the kingdom of God. Stand in the presence of God with your kids. Raise your kids as champions for the kingdom of God. Their fire for God is more important than their education. I need to say it. Some people take their kids out of church because they got exams to do. I would suggest that's a bad thing to do. What are you teaching them? What are you teaching them? Quite simply, that success in life is more important than worshiping Jesus. Sometimes exam time, we don't see kids for months. Oh no, I've got to revise. Always remember, I brought this up earlier in the week with a group here we met as the church leaders, as we do every month. And I said this, one of the most incredible congregations in the world, Pastor Yongi Cho, said, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, he said, you know, he normally prayed about 3 or 4 hours a day. He said, today I've got more to do. I'm so busy. I need to pray for 7 hours. As I've got more to do, I need to increase my prayer, not squeeze prayer out. Oh, I don't know why I went there, because that's not very culturally acceptable sometimes. It needs to be said. Amen. Good preaching. Thank you. You can give God some praise for that if you want to. There we go. They stood in the presence of the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel. Notice the Spirit of God came upon when they were standing in the presence of the Lord. The Spirit of God didn't come upon while they were outside of the presence of the Lord. It's while they were in the presence of the Lord. And the Levite sons of Asaph in the middle. And he said, listen, all you Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed because of the great multitude arrayed against you. For the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. Hallelujah. Look at least 3 or 4 people say, you may be in a battle. Can't tell them, but the battle is not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. Come on, tell them, at least another 4 or 5 people, the battle belongs to the Lord. Battle belongs to the Lord. Oh, we're hardly through the scripture yet. And I go, oh man. Let the word speak today. Tomorrow go down against them, for they will surely come by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the desert. You will not need to fight in this battle. Ha ha. Position yourself. Position yourself. Position yourself. Today I want to speak on positioned for victory. Positioned for victory. Position yourself. Position now, focus, Melfi. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear, do not be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face towards the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites, children of the Kohathites, the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and they went out to the desert. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me. Listen up, Judah. Listen up, you people of Jerusalem. He said, believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. Come on, I hope you're receiving this morning. Let the word of God do its work in this house. Receive this as a whole prophetic word this morning. Believe in the Lord, you're going to be established. Unshakable. Undefeatable. Established in the land. But he goes further. Believe in his prophets, you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. They just kept saying it over and over and over and over and over. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. You know, every time you say it, you get more revelation. If you say something once, you just get one sort of aspect of revelation. You keep saying it, it starts to grow. It starts to speak. Some people say, I don't get anything out of the word of God. Start speaking it to yourself over and over and over and over and over and over and over. over and over and over and over and over and over. Keep declaring it. By his stripes you were healed. Well, okay, fair enough. But no, by his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. Every time you say it, something grows on the inside. See, either you can be superficial with the word or you can dig down deep. And they kept saying it. They kept saying it, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, when they began to sing, not when they finished singing. Hello? When they began to sing. When they first opened their mouth. When something first stirred in their hearts. When faith first started to be released. When joy first started to be stirred on the inside. When they first began to speak, when they just wanted to shut up and be quiet, but they first broke through, when they first started to declare. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When they first began to sing, the Lord set ambushes against the enemies, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Come on, I hope you're getting happy with this word this morning. This is incredible. So when the tribe of Judah came to a place that overlooked the desert, they looked towards the multitude, and there were the dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables. So much. I mean, it's like, this is incredible. Why would you bring valuables out to battle? You see, we sometimes read this and we don't even think about it. Why the heck? I'm going to war. I'm going to bring all the gold and the silver that I own. I'm taking it all out to war. There is something that we've got to understand. In God, when the enemy comes against you, God is setting the enemy up for a failure. Come on, get it. Some people think, why am I under attack? It's because God is bringing the enemy to you in order for you to defeat the enemy and take all his spoil. But if he leaves his spoil at home, there'll be nothing to take. So God makes sure he brings everything with him, just like the Egyptians. They plundered the Egyptians when they were going out into the desert. And God wants to say to you today, the enemy may be coming against you, but he's bringing his wealth with him. Hallelujah. He's bringing his abundance with him. Glory to God. Because when you defeat the enemy, you don't just win a battle. You get the wealth of the wicked. You get the abundance of the enemy. Come on, why don't you receive this morning? Lay hold of this today. I don't know about you, but I've never seen that before. I've seen so many times it took them 3 days to pick up all the wealth. 3 days. There was such an abundance. Look at this. Valuables on the dead bodies, precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. They were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, which means the valley of blessing. You may start in a battle, but you're going to end up in blessing. Hallelujah. Ha ha. For they blessed the Lord there. Therefore, the name of that place is called the Valley of Baraka until this day. So positioned for victory. Positioned for victory. I believe God wants to encourage us today that he's the God who says, I'm going to put you in the right place at the right time. God. You getting this? this is explosive. The right place at the right time. I didn't know we were going to sing that song. But if we truly believe that he's the God who wipes away our past, who walks with us in our present, and who holds our future, then you can know that you know that you know that you can trust him, that you will come out as long as you're positioned. Positioned for the victory. So there's a number of things here that we need to get hold of today. And the first thing is the strategy of the enemy. What is the strategy of the enemy? Quite simply, to get the word of God out of your heart. That's it. If you can put it in a one sentence, if he can get the word out, he can get anything else in. If he can get the word out, you'll struggle with healing. If he can get the word out, you'll struggle in your relationships. If he can get the word out, you'll compromise your Christianity. If he can get the word out, you're going to be lukewarm. If he can get the word out, let's just say it like this, you'll be defeated. The strategy of the enemy is to get the word out of your heart. That's why everything else in the world seems to be more important than opening the book. Everything seems to suddenly come in. When you make a decision, it's like when you make a decision to fast, all of a sudden you get asked out to go out for meals all the time. Ever been there? I have. Man alive. So his strategy is to choke the word of God, strangle it. Cares of this world, lust of other things, pride of life, all that stuff. Choke the word of God. His other strategy is to quieten our praise. To quieten our praise. It's a strategy of the enemy. If he can stop the release of joy, then he has prevented strength in the situation. Aren't you glad Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross? It was joy that got Jesus through, and his faith on the joy that got him through the 4 days. From the time he prayed to the time he was raised from the dead. See, the Bible clearly tells us, do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. Do not be ignorant. He wouldn't say that. The Apostle Paul wouldn't say that if Christians were ignorant. Now, I know he says, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, but I don't know, I think it's there, so we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And his devices are to divide and conquer, of course, quiet and praise, but really to choke the word of God. And I love this. Immediately after Jehoshaphat had made the most incredible changes in the nation. You know, if you know the history of the kings, there was a lot of bad kings. A lot of kings that really did not do well. But Jehoshaphat was a good one. When he came in, he made all these reforms. He said, no, we're not doing it like that anymore. We're doing it like this. And it's as if the enemy came straight in because of the great changes he was making. And they all ganged up against him. But don't you love the fact that even though the enemy came straight in, point number two, fear came in, but fear has an antidote. Do you get that this morning? Fear has an antidote. An antidote, again. Oh, what were we just singing? Because he lives, all fear is gone. God has not given me a spirit of fear, hallelujah, but of power. Come on, church, and of love, and of a sound mind. Fear is not my inheritance. Fear is not my portion. Fear is not my decision maker. Fear is not the way I think. Fear is not the way I speak. Fear is not the way I act. Faith is the way I speak. Faith is the way I act. Faith is the way I praise my God. Faith is the way I pray. Faith is the way I have my conversations. Faith is the way I talk to my doctor. Faith is the way I talk to my bank manager. Faith is the way I talk to my family. Faith in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give God a praise break in this house today. Look at someone, say, fear is not my future. Fear has an antidote. What is the antidote? He immediately set himself to seek God. See, fear comes, but faith comes with the word. Faith comes with the word. So he immediately set himself to seek God, and he proclaimed a fast across the nation. And in that fast, the next thing they did was to proclaim the greatness of God. That's point three. There it is. Proclaim the greatness of God. We are singing a lot of songs at the moment that just quite simply proclaim the greatness of God. We've always done that. 27 years. You come to Citygate any Sunday in 27 years, you will not hear us singing how we feel. You will not hear us, you know, singing something that sort of doesn't really say it. The closest we get is a song like we sung this morning about I was a vagabond and I was this and I was that. But he healed my heart. We don't stand there and go all soulish in the presence of God. We declare the greatness of God. I don't know about you, but when I come into the presence of God, I don't want to sing about me. Come on, church, you're getting something today. You see, if I'm in the presence of me, I want to talk about me. But if I'm in the presence of God, I get overwhelmed by how awesome my God is, how great my God is. If you've lost sight about how great God is, perhaps you're not standing in the presence of God. Because when you stand in the presence of God, you can't help but be overwhelmed. They fell at his feet as though dead. They cried in the presence of God. They laid on their face in the presence of God. They weren't standing there going, oh God, I feel this and I feel that. They start to declare and proclaim the greatness of Almighty God. God, you are a great God. You are high and lifted up. The train of your robe fills the temple. And I love how they made it personal. You are Almighty God. This is sort of how I pray in the presence of God. I start with God, you're Almighty God. Then I start saying, you are my Almighty God. I love the progression here. Because he's in fear. So he needs to get his mind straight very quickly. Don't give fear a minute. It's not normal to worry. It's not normal for a believer to be anxious, worried, stressed out. That means we're in the flesh. Get back into the presence of God and start to declare the greatness of God. Oh, that's just my emotional health. And I understand we have a pandemic today of emotional turmoil and of soulish mess. But the answer is not in the natural. The answer is in the presence of Almighty God, declaring the greatness of God. Stop talking about your own self and start proclaiming the greatness of my God. Hallelujah. He is great and greatly to be praised. All the other gods are idols, but God, you sit enthroned over the floods of the earth. Heaven is your throne room and the earth is your footstool. You are the great God Jehovah. Hallelujah. High and lifted up. Jesus, you are crowned with many crowns. Hallelujah. Crowned with many crowns. The government is upon your shoulders. If you're worried about the left and the right, you need to see the king. Hello? Aren't you glad my future is not with a political party. That's why we will never be a political church. Why? Because we serve the King. And he's not a politician, he's a king. Are you with me? I hope you're getting something. This is good. Man, this is good. This is good. I need to get on. Proclaim the greatness of God. Over all and God, you're my God. You are my God. You may be the healer, but you're my healer. You may be the provider, but you're my provider. You see, you've got to go through the transition, but you cannot say you're mine until you know that he is. You are the Prince of Peace, therefore you are my Prince of Peace. Till you see him high and lifted up, you'll never see him as a personal savior, as a personal God, as a personal healer, as a personal provider, as a personal Prince of Peace. See him in his glory and then know he's for you personally. See, so often we pray through the problem, and that's the majority of our throne room time. Why don't we make the majority of our throne room time, you are high and lifted up. Everything else finds its place, finds its perspective. And you know what happens very quickly? They start to put God in remembrance of his word. Put God in remembrance. God, you're almighty God. God, you're my God. When you've got all that sorted, and you said. You said it. And if God said it, I believe it, that settles it. See, we try to hear the voice of God before we've got God high and lifted up in our thinking. Until you've got God high and lifted up in your thinking, trying to hear the voice of God, you're going to hear the voice of your problems. Hello? You're going to hear the voice of the pressure. You're going to hear the voice of the cancer. You're going to hear the voice of the heart condition. You're going to hear the voice of the division. You're going to hear the voice of the world. But when you start saying, God, you're high and lifted up, and you're my God, then you start to put God in remembrance of his word. Why? Because faith is arising in your spirit. See, this could have wiped out Israel right here. This could have been the end. Everybody came. Or Judah, I should say. It could have been the destruction of Judah. But it was the greatest victory. Put God in remembrance of his word. You said, if this happened, you would defend us. You said it. And I love the fact that we can put God in remembrance of his word. God loves that. You see, we think, oh, humble, oh God, you can do whatever you want to do. No, God can't do whatever, well, he can because he's God. But what he wants to do is fulfill his word. And how does God fulfill his word? We put him in remembrance of his word. There are some incredible examples in the Word of God that I haven't got time to go to, where God said, where men said to God, you said, you said. And if you said it, God, I'm going to stand on it. And once they'd put God in remembrance of his word, they just waited. God, I've done my bit. Over to you. I'm prepared to do whatever you want me to do. But as far as my covenant is concerned, I've magnified your name. I've humbled myself under your mighty hand, and I've reminded you of what you said. And wait. Right now, we're going to receive the bread and the wine. This is the greatest way I know to say, God, I put you in remembrance of your word. It's under the seat in front of you. We're not going to spend time on this. We're just going to do it. I do this all the time. If you're online, I should have reminded you earlier in the service. I think I did say we're going to have it. So hopefully you've got a juice or a loaf of bread or something there for you to receive the bread and the wine along with us here today. If you need gluten-free, please just put your hand up. We can sort that out. Very simply, the stewards are there now. We're going to receive this right now. This is putting God in remembrance of his word. What does this wafer do? Reminds God that he's my healer. Yeah. Hello, anybody here today? Yeah. Reminds God that he bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases in his body on the tree. God, I'm reminding you today that the body of Jesus was broken for me. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Father, we thank you for that. Amen. Let's receive the bread right now. Now we're going to remind God of the blood. We're going to remind God of the blood. Let's drink this. Jesus said, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. That is a covenant word that says, remember you're healed. Remember you're forgiven. Remember you're prospered. Remember you're free in Jesus' mighty name. Can I hear an amen this morning? Peel back the silver bit and let's drink. Once you've done that, we are going to give a shout of praise in this house. Are you ready? Come on. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Yes, God. My God. My healer. My deliverer. In Jesus' name. Now, they had to wait in the presence of God, but it wasn't long and God spoke. God's never trying to play hide and seek with us. He's never trying to play hide and seek. I'm just going to keep quiet because I want to test you. No, of course God wants us to trust in him and rely upon him. But you know what? God is a speaking God. And his word always speaks. Sometimes we say, God's not speaking to me. And he is. We're just not listening. Just a thought. What did God say? He said this. Number one, he revealed the enemy's plans. He said, the enemy's going to do this. Isn't it awesome to know what the enemy's going to do before he does it? That's about four of us. Anybody else think that's awesome? I just think it's amazing. God reveals the plans of the enemy. Isn't it great to be prepared beforehand for what the enemy thinks he's going to surprise you with? God wants to surprise us with his goodness. And he does, because he just loves surprising. Now, I know some people like surprises, other people don't like surprises, but God actually likes to surprise people. He likes to do something that's unexpected. You know, the lady came with the issue of blood. She just wanted healing, but God surprised her. Said, I'm going to meet every need. So many times, God does far abundantly above. We know these scriptures, favorite scriptures, put your faith with them. But God wants to do it as a bit of a surprise. Like those two lepers, they all got healed, all 10 of them got healed, but two came back just to say thanks. You know why gratitude is so important? Eight lepers or nine lepers, whatever the story, the account, they all got healed, but eight of them still only had three fingers. They still had a hole in their arm, still had ears dropped off and toes gone. But two came back and thanked God, and they were happy that they were just healed. But God said, I'm going to surprise you. Have your toes back. Have your fingers back. Have your ears back. You're going to be made whole. Everybody else just got healed, but you've come back with a spirit of gratitude, and I'm going to make you whole. So God loves to surprise us. But isn't it great when the enemy cannot surprise us? Because God says, you know what? The enemy's coming. Be prepared. He's coming. Be prepared. I was reminded the other day of the testimony of somebody in this church who broke their arm, and we got it on the internet. And as much as it really confuses our theology, God said, the enemy's going to try and come, but don't worry, I'm going to bring you through. and the most incredible healing of an arm that would never, they said, top neurosurgeons in Europe, you will never have use of that arm. You might as well change careers right now. But God, come on, can we give God some praise in the house? This is awesome. So God revealed the situation. God told them what to do. And he said, listen, you praisers. Because the tribe of Judah means the tribe of praise. He said, listen, you worshippers. Listen, you praisers. Get up and go against them. God is going to fight for you because Jesus takes this personally. The same with Paul. Paul, you're fighting against me. You're not fighting against the church. Same thing here. God takes it personally when the enemy tries to come out and wipe you out. God takes it personally. Aren't you glad about that? God doesn't say you're on your own. Time and time again, we hear in this passage and through the word of God, God is with you. Go and fight because God is with you. He's not out there. He's not having a break. He's not sleeping or slumbering. He's right with you, right in the valley. He's right with you, right on the mountaintop. He's right with you, right in the battle. Hallelujah. Some people here today, perhaps you need to know God is with you right now, even though you don't feel it, even though you're wondering where he's gone, even though you're thinking, why is the enemy here? God is saying, I'm with you right there in the middle of the mess, and I'm bringing you out on top. Hallelujah. Bringing you out. I'm with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. All this happened as they just waited on the Lord. No wonder the Bible says you'll mount up with wings as an eagle as you wait. You'll run and not be, come on church, you'll walk and not faint. And God said this, probably the key word, which is what today is all about. Position yourself. Position yourself. Every day now, I declare I'm going to be in the right place at the right time. Every day. It's become a daily confession of mine. Lots of confessions that I have. Position myself for the victory. Position myself. God, I'm going to be in the right place at the right time for whatever's coming down the road. You know, your prosperity is often in the hands of other people. It's very quiet in this room today. Am I in the right church? Is this Citygate Church here? Your position affects everything. I used to be the captain of the school football team when I was 12. And then I went to a school that played rugby. And I loved rugby. It was just like, come on, get your shoulder in and cause some damage. Come on, this is a sport for blokes. Not little actresses. Falling over. Let's not go there. I don't want to upset anybody here today. I support the England games, absolutely. With a red cross on the back of the shirt. Oh, perhaps I shouldn't say that. But anyway, don't mess with my nation. Hallelujah. And it's really important that you're in the right place at the right time on a football pitch. Yeah. Right place at the right time. You can be the best player, but in the wrong place, and the ball just goes flying past. Right place at the right time. And you know what? That's part of your covenant now. I want you to release your faith today. I'm going to be in the right place at the right time in Jesus' name. Look at someone and say, I'm going to be in the right place at the right time. Why don't you stand to your feet today and say, I'm going to be in the right place. I'm going to be in the right time to catch whatever God got for me in my life, because my future is in his hands. Right place at the right time. Come on, lift your hand. I position myself for the victory. I position myself for my healing. I position myself for my abundance. I position myself for my husband. Come on, faith. I position myself for my wife. I position myself for my career. I position myself for my peace of mind. I position myself to heal the sick. Come on, I position myself to trample on serpents and scorpions. I position myself to live the high life. I position myself to receive my inheritance in Jesus' name. Can we give God a shout of praise in the house? Hallelujah. 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 Position myself. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Where you walk affects your prosperity. Come on. Who sits not in the seat of the scornful. Where you sit affects what you reign over. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. His leaf never withers. Why? Because of where you're positioned. Hello? You see, just as much as I'm saying today, I need to position myself in the throne room, I need to make sure I'm not sitting where I shouldn't sit. I'm not walking where I shouldn't walk. Come on, church. I hope you're getting something out of this today. You know where it says I'm to be positioned in Psalm 1? Planted by the river. The river is my relationship with Jesus. Friend, are you planted by the river today? I would like to hear, you see, faith responds. When I say something like, are you planted by the river? There should be an almighty shout of yes! Because you have what you say. Are you planted by the river? Yes. I'm planted by the river. Oh, but Pastor Jay, I don't feel like it. But our God is a God who gives life to the dead, who calls things that be not as though they already were. And like God, we call things that be not. You may feel like you're dry, say, I'm planted by the river. You may feel like you're in the desert, you need to say, I'm planted by the river. You may think that you're in sickness and disease, but you need to say, I'm planted by the river, hallelujah. Come on, I'm planted by the river. I'm planted by the river. I know we're itching to praise God, and we're going to praise God in just a minute. But I got to say this. You believe in God, you're going to be unshakable. But you believe what God says, you're going to prosper. A lot of Christians believe in God, not believing what He says. So you're saved, you're established, you're going to heaven. But there's a group of Christians on the earth who are not going to just live standing still. They're going to prosper in whatever they put their hand to. It's going to prosper. They're going to prosper in mind, in body, in finances, in marriages, in children. Come on. Prosper. You know how you prosper? Believe what God said. Believe the promise. Believe the promise. God said it. Come on. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I prosper as a result of believing what God said. We're not in the days of prophets now. I know they're apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But in the Old Testament, all they had was the prophet, the priest, and the king. Today, you're the prophet of your own life. You got to believe your own words. Come on, you're getting this today. You got to believe your own words. You got to start to declare something out of your mouth and then start to believe what you say, that your words are the spirit of life in there. Prosper from the promise. And then finally, which we all know about, which is why the band's got back up here. God said, Jehoshaphat said, it was his response to what God said. See, God never said put praise first. It was the righteous response to the fact he knew he was going to win the victory. What's your response? Wait and see? Come on, respond to me today. Is your response going to be to wait and see? No. Is your response going to be sit down and be calm? No. Our response to the promise of God, which means we're going to prosper, is this. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise creates an atmosphere of faith. Praise creates confusion in the enemy's camp. Praise releases God's power. Praise brings the glory into the inner cell. Praise shuts the mouths of lions. Praise quenches the violence of fire. Praise sets your feet on the path of Almighty God. Praise in faith brings up the valleys and brings down the mountains. Praise in Jesus' name. So we're going to praise God today, because I believe God spoke to me and said there are people who have been giving the enemy a foothold and a stronghold. And today is the day we crush that. We break that. We say no more in my life. No more in Jesus' mighty name. Let's go for it, guys. We're going to sing praise today. We're going to declare in Jesus' name, God's moving mountains. God's speaking to the wind and the waves. God is raising up valleys. God is bringing down mountains. God is the God who opens doors of favor. God is the God who says, come on, the dead shall live again. Come on, every hand raised, say, I believe, I receive. God Almighty is the great God. He is my God. And God has made his promise to my life in the blood of Jesus. I was healed. My needs are met. I have the peace of God. My family is a stronghold. Whatever I put my hand to prospers. Come on, the enemy is under my feet. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Whatever I put my hand to will prosper in Jesus' name. I believe it. I receive it. That settles it. Amen.